Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, believe it or not, it's the sixth and final time that we're going to be talking about what on earth am I here for specifically. We've looked at God's reasons for you and for me to be here. And I guess, first of all, we need to name there is a reason. There is a reason. If you're still struggling, if you're still doubting what on earth I'm here for, first you need to know there is a God-given reason. Whatever is going on in your life, do not let anyone tell you otherwise. We began looking at what on earth am I here for because on January 1st at 5:55 a.m., I was awakened from a dream, and I realized 2015 was over. 2015 was done with. 2015 was temporary. And some of us are like, 2015, temporary. And some of us are like, oh man, it was a good year for me. But 2015 was not the end goal. It was not the final destination of your life or mine. And it's still true in 2016. My case in point, it's already February. Isn't that kind of hard to believe? February 7th, 2016. We only have 11 months to go in 2016. January is gone, and eventually 2016 is going to be gone. We were not put here on earth for time in and of itself. We began looking at this truth, and it goes like this. It's from the author of Ecclesiastes. God placed eternity on the hearts of men and women. God placed eternity on the hearts of men and women. God set eternity on our hearts. He did not set earth on our hearts, not perfection, not success or envy, nothing short of eternity. So when we feel the emptiness or we feel like, oh my gosh, this new relationship, it's not completely satisfying me. Oh my gosh, the same things I used to do that I got so much pleasure and fun out of, they're not satisfying me. It's because we were not made to be satisfied by anything of this earth because we were made for eternity, not earth. We are called to the earth, but nothing short of eternity is for us. And into the life that God gave us, into that life God placed us, we are here to worship. We looked at first, worship. And that just doesn't mean for 1 hour or 2 hours on Sunday morning. It means worshiping God with our lives. Secondly, we were placed here to fellowship. We were formed for God's family. People matter. Third, we are here for discipleship. In other words, to become like Christ. Not just because we want to do all the good little things and not all the bad little things, but because the image of God in us was marred by sin. And we are called to re-own the image of God in us. And the true image of God, we know what it looks like because God sent his son, Jesus Christ, his life and his mission. We tried to mar him, beating him, whipping him, abandoning him, killing him. But he could not be stopped. His image of God remains intact. And so our reason for being is to become like Christ. God wants to reform the image of God in us. Fourthly, we are called on earth to serve God by serving others. We are not just here on earth to consume. And do you know how many of the books about us discovering the best in life is about us getting? We want this, we want that. You can get this. You can get the best life. You can get the most out of life. But God flips that upside down and says, no, the most out of life is to give. That's ministry. Caring for God's people. You have a place. caring for God's people in your own way. That's ministry. And today we're looking at the fifth and final reason that we are put here on earth, and it's this: mission. To carry God's mission. You see, if you and I are made for eternity, and salvation to this kind of life is found in Jesus Christ, it means I am living in eternity right now. And you're like, ooh, that explains a lot. But what I'm saying is the new life that I have found in Christ has begun now. It just doesn't begin when I hit the Jordan or when I die. It's not just for there. Because look at what Jesus did. He came and he ministered to the people in Palestine. Not just only pie in the sky by and by. But what he's done is called us to care for the earth. And that goes back to reforming that image in us, because that was the first covenant that God said, multiply and steward the earth. You be my caretakers, my shepherds, my shepherdesses. I think new life in Christ means experiencing eternal life right now. Now, it's not the way it's going to be when we're in the kingdom of God in heaven. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no more crying. There's no more dying. There's no more death or disease. There is only life and light. And it's full, and it's not dull and boring. Jesus describes it most often as a heaven as a party, as a banquet feast, as a huge wedding festival. That's what it's going to be like, living life to the fullest. Today is the day that you and I are learning that we have a life message. Our mission. What on earth we're here for. You have a life message. You have a life mission. And I saw this happen just last week. And I know it sounds presumptuous, but this is what happened. Well, actually, it started about 11 years ago. Lee and I got this phone call. I kept getting this like random voice message. Finally, I spoke to this person, and she said, I have a 2-year-old coming from Guyana for major surgery. Her bladder is outside her body, and I need a host family, and the one that we had lined up fell through. Over the years, that was baby Sarah. Baby Sarah's the one in the middle. The other four children are my kids. A while ago, huh? She was with us for 5 months, and she had her surgery, and she changed our lives. She came back 3 years later for more surgery for another 5 months. But also, we've had 8 other kids come. Some stay for 2-plus months, some for 5 months. And they've come from Guyana. They've come from El Salvador. They've come from Dominican Republic. They've come from Honduras. They've come from Mali, which is in Africa. And it's the favorite thing that my family and I have done. It beats Disney World. Getting them there. It beats everything else that my family has done. We get to use our house, which is actually the parsonage, in yet one more way for God. And I just say that because I'm in love with these kids. Even the miserable one or two that we had. But 6 years ago, we had a young girl named Lesti. She was 14, and she came to live with us, and she came for heart surgery because she couldn't get the oxygen that she needed, and she was very lethargic. But after surgery, she was here for just over 2 months. We took her to the dunes, and she climbed up the dune climb, and she's jumping with the four kids. I should have stuck that photo in. But 2 weeks ago, I got to visit Lesti in Honduras. And I thank God for Facebook, because Facebook, several years ago, I don't know how many years, Graham, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, Lesti friended me. I mean, like, they have dirt floors and no electricity, but Facebook made it there. And we stayed in contact. She spoke zero English. And our Spanish is a bit marred, speaking of marred. But I got to visit Honduras, and a year and a half ago, we found out Lesti's mom, you know, the machismo culture there, was still having babies, and Lesti wanted, if she could, to get to college. And so we found out that she could attend Olancho Católica Universidad in Olancho. And this is Lesti 2 weeks ago. She's 20 years old now, and she is a flower. She just radiates this love and this sense of humor. All week long, she made fun of my Spanish. Like, but she knew my Spanish wasn't so good because, like, for years here, when she was 14, I was sharing with her, oh, you have to meet Blanca Fithian. She's my mamacita. And I just, because she'd be like, oh, Pastor Blanca, if you ever get a chance to meet her, you'll know her. She grew up in Puerto Rico. And I was like, oh, mamacita, not knowing I'm saying the whole time sexy mama. And when Lesti and Cesar Nuris heard I was saying that, they were like, no. So the first day I was in Honduras with Lesti, I'm like, ¿visitiste el ratón? And she's like, what? Although she hates to speak English. ¿Qué? ¿Ratón? And then anybody know what ratón means? The rat? Did you visit the rat? I was trying to say Roatan, which is the second largest barrier reef off the coast of Honduras. It went downhill from there. I said, I love this canción, but I didn't say canción. I said, I think it came out calzón, which is like ladies' underwear. And I don't even know what I said. And I said, when I come back to visit, because I had brought some supplies and things for her, and I'm thinking of sending all the four kids, my four kids, with her to Olancho Catholic University, because it's not that expensive. And next year we'll have 5 children in college. And I said, next year when I come, I will have to practice my Spanish a lot more. And she said, sí, mucho más. That's Lesti. But what was more amazing was to see her interacting with the girls who were there for surgery, because they were having a big clinic in Tegucigalpa. And to see her care, and to she and I were able to share her story with this family who had to walk over an hour just to get to a bus stop, hours away from Tegucigalpa, a grandpa and grandma and their daughter and their granddaughter who was paraplegic, but that's the granddaughter on the right. And Lesti was able to share her life message of her in need of heart surgery, that she had a bad heart. And to see this little girl in the blue's face be so interested and so hopeful to know that there could be life beyond where she was right now. That's Lesti braiding her hair in a beautiful way, but just look at her face. And then that's the clinic at the hospital in Tegucigalpa where we went. It just reminded me, Lesti has a life message. She's attending a church down there as a part of a college group, youth group down there, and also witnessing to her 4 younger sisters, including the 1-year-old, who she told me calls her mommy. She said, and Lesti says, I am not your mommy. But Lesti said to send her greetings. And she's living out this life story to see her interacting with the old people who are there looking for hope, and to know that she has this relationship with Christ that she shares in the midst of it all. You know, in mid the 5 purposes of our lives, 4 of them can be done on earth and in heaven: worship, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry, being a part of caring for God's family. But mission can only be done here on earth. It's the only purpose of God that you can only do on earth. Think about it, what Jesus says in John chapter 14. Jesus says this: in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. And then Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's not just praying for the 12. He's praying for all of the Christ followers in the world throughout history. In John 20, 21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And you heard a little bit about our new vision that we send out disciples equipped with love and service. We send out disciples equipped with love and service. That's Jesus' mission. Now, what are we being sent to do? Do we just run around and try to figure it out? What's our mission? In Acts chapter 20, Paul summarizes it when he says this, and he's on trial for this, as are many Christians around the world. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord Jesus gave me. And let's read this last part together. Ready? To tell people the good news about God's grace. To tell people the good news about God's grace. Write this down. My fifth purpose in my life is to share the good news. Faith sharing. It is the word evangelism. And before you freak out, like I used to do when I heard the word evangelism, until I understood it more. Evangelism does not have anything to do with necessarily tele-evangelists with big hair and send me your money kind of messages. That's about as much as the WWE has to do with the sport of wrestling. Evangelism simply means, it's the Greek word for good news. Everyone needs Jesus. The gospel is not a hammer that we go around beating the world up with. It's medicine that the world and us, each of us, needs. Everyone needs Jesus. The president, the barber, your neighbor, Muslims, Hindus, and Christians all need Jesus. So now if the mission is sharing the good news, where am I supposed to share it? I want to look at this next verse, Acts 1:8. Let's read this one together. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the great commission of Jesus in the book of Acts. You will be my witnesses. Notice he doesn't say, you will be my defense attorneys. You do not have to defend God. You simply are called to live faithfully. You simply need to say, God is. Life has meaning because God exists. You don't have to prove it. God is big enough to prove it himself. There are people who use reason to share the truth of God, and that's a great gift to the church. But Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And he's telling this to his followers. They're already in Jerusalem. So here's the point. He's saying, first, I want you to start at home. I want you to start with the people closest to you, right there in your own city, in your own community. Then he says, I want you to go to Judea and Samaria. That's like the towns next door, the county next door, Ann Arbor, for example. And then the Samaritans happen to be different culturally, racially. So he says, I want you to go to people nearby that are different from you. And then he says, I want you to go to the ends of the earth. I want you to go reach everybody else. Jesus is saying, be my witnesses, not my defense attorneys. He doesn't say, be my prosecutor. He doesn't say, be my salesman. You just tell them the world has meaning because God is. And that eternity on their hearts, even the people who are most stoically against Scripture, against God, have to admit there's something there. How many of you are afraid to do that? Here's the secret. You have power in witnessing. You have power in witnessing. You do not have to fear. Over and over in Scripture it says, do not fear. I'm going to prove it to you. How many of you became a believer because of what a pastor did or a priest did? Raise your hands. I'm going home. how many of you became a believer because of what a family member or a friend did? Yeah. That's how it's supposed to happen. That's the power of witnessing. You don't have to be an expert or a consultant. You're simply a witness. Why do we witness? Because God is building a family. The whole point of history is God is building a family that's going to live with him forever and love him. That's the whole point. It's his story. Oh, isn't that clever? His story. The entire Bible is about a missionary God on a mission, seeking to call and create a missionary people. And the amazing part is God has chosen us to complete the mission that Jesus Christ began when he came to earth. And he says, I want you guys to finish it. So how do you complete your mission? Well, first, to complete my God-given mission, I must share with those in my world, in my Jerusalem. That's the starting point. You know, there was a guy that Jesus healed, and after Jesus healed him, he wanted to travel with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I don't want you to do that. And in Luke 8, Jesus says this, go back home and tell the people how much God has done for you. So that man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Go back home. Jesus says the same thing to you. There are good friends of ours who have not heard about this spiritual journey that you've been on. Maybe your own kids haven't heard how you started this journey, where God surprised you. Maybe your parents don't know the whole story. Maybe they don't know his story, history in your life. Go back home. Yes, it's awkward, but you're just a witness. You're not an expert. I believe that our church is set to make an explosion of faith in our Jerusalem right around here. That's where it's at. I trust that those of us who are involved in many, many activities aren't leaving our faith behind, but we're being witnesses in all of the teams that we're involved in all of the clubs, and all of the hobbies we're involved in. I know that you and I are involved in so many things, but don't let any of the one of those things be your all. Don't let it be your all, whether it's video games, whether it's the accordion, whether it's certain kind of music that you like, whether it's your career, whether it's the research that you're doing that's going to help your company or help the world. Go for it, but don't let it be your all. Even raising your children, don't let that be your all. Do they know your desire is that Jesus' mission on earth is your all? If you want God's legacy and God's blessing in your life, if you want to live out your life message, you must care about what God cares about most. And what God cares about more than anything is people. God is crazy about people. People who know him and people who have yet to find him. Won't you reflect that in your own way? You know, here at Dexter UMC, fortunately, we have dozens of folks who are reaching out beyond themselves. They began in Jerusalem. They're spreading out from there, even to the point of the whole world. You know, I would love it if more people found out about healing the children, and we became a host, not just a host family, but a host church. The number of our neighbors who were like, well, I don't like that church thing that you do, but I love baby Sarah. Can I bring her some clothing? What if we looked for fostering and adopting as ways? That's something I can do with my house. What if we found organizations like Healing the Children that the church supported those families who were reaching out in that way. There's some of us here who are not just telling their friends, but they're reaching out to people different from themselves to show God's love to the needy. I want to share just a few. First of all, how about to children and youth in Dexter and Pinckney and Chelsea and Ann Arbor, who are over-programmed and overlooked and over-protected and over-entertained? How about through Project Angel Tree, providing presents for kids whose parents are in prison, ringing bells for the Salvation Army, Chelsea Retirement Community Ministries? You know, James said, true religion is this, helping widows and orphans. Widows and orphans, baby. Operation Christmas Child, the Hunger Hamper, Haiti, Belize, and Detroit work teams, SOS. We have a team of guys working on the parsonage in Belize right now. Home Repair, SOS, Inner City in Memphis. Redbird work projects in rural Appalachians in Kentucky. The Crop Walk for World Hunger, Habitat for Humanity. UMCOR, which is for disaster relief, and on and on and on. And these are people from our church who said, you know what? I've got a life mission to live. I'm going to reach beyond my world and intentionally share good news about Jesus with others. Here's the test to know if you've completed your mission. My question, are you still alive? Remember, that's the only one of God's purposes that you got to get done here on earth. If you're still alive, your mission is not completed. So as we close, as we're looking at the rest of 2016 and beyond, you've got four possible responses. You can say like Moses when God calls him, who, me? Or you can say like Jonah, not me. Or you can say like Habakkuk, why me? Or you can say like Isaiah, send me. I dare you to say that. I dare each one of us, me too. Do you have enough courage to say, God, use my life for your mission? Let us pray. Almighty God, more than anything else, I want to fulfill the purpose that you have made me for. And I want every one of us to know what that could be like. And I want our world to see what it looks like when we begin living on mission for you. Lord, I want to bring others to you, whether they're in Honduras or Dexter. I want to serve your purpose in my generation and for each of us here to do the same. From this day forward, Lord, let us build our lives around your eternal purposes. And let us help one another. And let us help our church to do the same. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.